When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to mini episode 334 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have one spooky story for you today. And our story today comes from Leanne, and also comes with an apology because Leanne sent in her story last year and I missed it, skipped over it accidentally, and here we are. And also Leanne included in her email that she was turned on to the podcast by her friend Siobhan, so thank you Siobhan for that one. So let's get into it. I wasn't one of those children that had paranormal experiences or could see spirits. I didn't have any until I was 30 years old. Anytime I've seen a ghost, it has never been 3D or flesh and blood looking. They are sort of slightly shadowy, see-through images. They've all been in my mind's eye, like a video playing in my brain that is happening at the same time real life is happening. It's like the layers of a film where you have a tree and then you place a film with a person over that to add them to the picture you are seeing. But they aren't on the same film, only layers that you see at the same time. I hope that makes sense and I am explaining it correctly. It's tricky, if you've never experienced it, to explain. The first time it happened to me, I didn't know what was happening. I was confused and couldn't understand why I was making up these very specific and intense daydreams. That's before I figured out they were clairvoyant visions. My very first paranormal experience happened to me in the strangest of places, a horse race track. I was in the bleachers and all of a sudden in my brain I could see this scene of three men in 1940s style gangster outfits, complete with fedora hats. They were standing there talking and one pulled out a knife and stabbed one of the other men. That's it. No warning and no ending, just a moment in time showing me a crime. This racetrack was built in 1946, so it most definitely fit the time period of possibility. Though when I tried to research it, I never found a news article of such a crime taking place there. Perhaps that is why this man's spirit made me see this. He wanted someone to know he was killed there. The track was demolished a few years ago now, but my memory remains. There have been a couple of occasions where, in my mind's eye, I have seen spirits in the woods while taking a walk. One was a girl, about 14, in pioneer period-style dress and bonnet hat, and another time, a young Native American boy around 15, in traditional clothing, both peeking at me from around the trees. They both looked very curious and a bit bewildered by my presence. I also saw a shadow man walk across the path ahead and disappear into the trees. My friend that was with me didn't, so that was an interesting one to share. In a house tour once, I was going down a set of wraparound stairs and saw a little blonde girl hiding under the stairs. She looked so sad and confused and her eyes were pleading with me to just acknowledge her. At a different house, we toured 10 houses and 3 were haunted. I saw a man in a tiny room sitting on the floor, holding his knees, and he was pouring his despair into my soul. In that same house, I walked into a sunken living room to be confronted by 7 Native American men in full dress and face paint. A matriarch in my family was full-blooded Cherokee, but these were from a different local tribe. And they all gathered around, closing in on me and got right up in my face with fear and warning in their eyes. They were trying their best to relay a message to me. I wish I'd have listened as my marriage ended up falling apart and crumbling while living in that house in the years that followed. I've had one dream that ended up coming true. We toured a rental home, and despite only being there for like 20 minutes and casually glancing around, that night I had the most vivid dream. I could see the front of the house and the yard down to the tiniest detail. I saw myself holding a toddler's hand, helping them to walk. When I had this dream, we didn't know if we were having a girl or a boy, but in the dream, it was a little boy. We did indeed have a son, and a few months after moving into the house I dreamed of, my husband took a photo in the front yard of me and our son, and when I saw it, I gasped, because it was the exact scene that I had had in the dream. I cannot express how that feels to experience. Shortly before moving into that rental home, I was there painting, and all of a sudden I heard in my right ear a man's voice say, "Hello?" And I froze in fear because there wasn't anyone else there but my dog. It was an inquisitive sounding question, almost like he was testing to see if I could hear him, and not so much expecting a reply. The voice sounded like it was far away and almost a tin can sound. Sounds don't always have to be voices. One night I was huge and pregnant with our second son, and our oldest was in bed and my husband was in town. All of a sudden, over the loud movie, I heard what sounded like someone trying to open the door. The handle was turning and violently shaking and banging like someone was forcefully trying to get in. I paused the TV and froze while listening to this. I didn't know what to do. Here I am, a 7-month pregnant woman across the upstairs with a sleeping toddler. I'm alone. What can I do to defend the house and my family? I thought about grabbing a knife in the kitchen after waddling in there, but by then the intruder would already be inside, and that wouldn't do any good. Fortunately, the noises stopped. Nothing. Needless to say, when my husband got home later that night, I was so scared and upset that I made him get a security system installed the next day. I think the ghosts were making sure we were safe by making safety happen in the strangest way possible. Another time, a few years later, I was sitting in my optometrist office, and in the waiting room, which had a couple of other people there, I sat down. I was reading a true ghost experience book and was so engrossed that I didn't notice them leave. All of a sudden, I heard a woman's voice in my ear sharply demand, "Get out!" I froze again and looked around expecting someone, perhaps a staff member, playing a joke on me. I thought perhaps they had seen the title of my book and wanted to scare me, but nobody was around. It was very creepy. I've been back a few times since and haven't ever had anything else happen. One night, my ex-husband was in his office downstairs, and I was going to bed upstairs and was lying on my stomach and felt hands on my lower legs. I looked and nobody was there, so I calmed down and attempted to fall asleep again, and it happened again. Heavy hands pushing down on my calf muscles. I'm not sure how I went to sleep alone in that room. Years later, I was in a vintage hotel where the original bar was built in 1910 and was converted into a king's suite. They had a historic information booklet in the room sharing how the owner was a stern man that did not let women in his establishment back in the day. That night, I was asleep next to my boyfriend, and I awoke to a black shadow figure standing next to me, and I sleepily watched as it reached its hands down and wrapped them around my neck and started choking me. My initial instant reaction was one of sheer terror, but being the logical-minded person that I am, I calmed my breathing and my mind and asked myself, am I in any physical pain? I deduced that no, it was just the visual action, and I wasn't having any real-life fallout from this. I then calmed, and in my mind, I yelled, "Stop! go away and leave me alone. And it did. I was shaken and woke him up, and needless to say, we only got 3 hours of sleep that night. We were both so freaked out that we cancelled our second night and went home. Do I want to risk another encounter with the woman-hating bartender Shadow Man? No thanks. My eldest son kept having photos taken of him by me, where the eyes would be strangely blurry, even though nothing else is. It wouldn't be a big deal if it was only occasionally, because toddlers move and squirm around a lot. But it was always only photos of him. Nobody else in the photos the whole time we lived there for 2.5 years, and it was only the eyes. I've never had another photo of him blurry like that since moving house. I've also seen orbs and a shadow man in the backyard of that particular house. The TV language setting went from English to Spanish by itself, and you have to follow a few prompts to do that. The radio changed on its own and flipped every couple of seconds to different stations. When we moved out of that first haunted house, I spoke out loud to our prankster ghost, who always loved scaring me but nobody else, and said, "We've enjoyed living in your home. Your pranks have been amusing, but please don't follow us to our new house. Please stay here. Let us have a fresh start in our new place. Thank you." I'm not lying when that same night, the first in our new house, I was awakened by a loud bang. One would assume it was the front door to the house, but it was way too loud for that. It sounded like it was on our bedroom door 10 feet away. I couldn't believe my husband was still asleep as it was so loud. Since then, I've come to learn and realise that the ghost only made me hear it. That's why nobody else woke up. Nothing else ever happened in that house. I like to believe that it was the ghost playing one last final trick on me as a farewell, goodbye dick move. My son's toy train was on one end table in the bedroom, and the next morning I woke up and it was across the room on another one. I knew I hadn't moved it. Our son was in his crib and was too short anyway, and when I asked my disbelieving husband if he had moved it, he replied, "No, why would I move it?" So it must have been the ghost. More recently, about a month ago, in my new built house that I've lived in now for almost 5 years, a pair of earrings kept moving from the position that I had placed them. My kids denied doing it, and so my only other possible culprit is our kitty that passed away unexpectedly in his sleep a couple of years ago. You know how cats bat at something to play with it? That's what it looks like. So maybe Sherman is playing. That's what I like to think anyway. I hear him meow his specific hello meow about once a year, so I know he occasionally pops in to say hi and let me know that he is here. Besides the dark figure, I have experienced a couple of other paranormal events while on vacation. One was me settling in for the night and the room above me sounded like furniture was being moved around. And then, like a bowling ball was being rolled across the room. It kept happening for hours and I didn't sleep much. I asked the staff at the desk the next day and she didn't know anything. I've heard a few other people on episodes mention that sound as well, and if you've experienced it, you get it. It's torture when trying to sleep. Last June, I was having a girls' getaway trip with my mom, and the first night we were preparing to go to bed, I closed the window curtains. I don't like any light coming in. And I woke up during the night 2 different times to the curtain being opened about 1 foot. I would shut it again and go back to sleep. The third time I looked over at the right foot of my bed and an elderly woman around 86 was standing by my feet staring at me. At first I thought it was my mom because she also has shoulder length white hair. But then I realised the nightgown wasn't my mom's pajamas. I looked over and my mom was soundly asleep in the other bed. I just sternly said in my mind while looking at the lady, "Please stop opening the curtain. I'm trying to sleep." And I rolled over and fell back asleep. It worked because the next 2 nights of our stay, they stayed shut and I didn't see or sense her again. I feel like she was messing with me and me being brave and standing up to her was enough to make her stop trying to get her way. Some ghosts. So rude. No, seriously, I do think it's another case of a ghost wanting acknowledgement and just wanting someone to see and know they're there. And doesn't everyone living or dead want that? I have had a few times of being hit with a thought about someone I know that ends up coming true. I had a friend, and on the way to meet up I thought, I bet her and her ex are back together. And sure enough, she announced it while hanging out. I hadn't talked to her in 4 years, so there's no way I'd have known that, I just knew. I predicted another friend's engagement about 4 days before she posted it on Facebook. I thought recently, I should get some $1 bills because my son's tooth will probably fall out any day now. Sure enough, the next day his father texts me that very thing. I heard heels walking towards me in a restroom and I had a vision of the woman. And sure enough, when she walked around the corner, it was exactly the ethnicity that I had seen in my mind seconds earlier. Once I predicted a partner breaking up with me. We hadn't been fighting, no warnings or signs, I was just vacuuming and cleaning a couple of hours before they arrived and bam, the thought of, they're going to break up with me, just popped into my head. I was double shocked when they said they wanted to break up after arriving. So if you have a keen ear, Leanne very helpfully sort of split her stories into different types of stories. So we have clairvoyant visions, prophetic dreams, clairaudient experiences, experiences where she was physically touched, experiences with her little kid in that house and their eyes, items moving, hotel ghosts, and psychic experiences. So we're going to go back to the very beginning and go back to the description of how Leanne explained seeing these ghosts or images or whatever. I've definitely heard people describe seeing ghosts or visions or whatever as being like a film playing in their mind, but I don't think I've ever quite had it described as that kind of almost double exposure. So you can see the tree and then the film plays over it in your brain. So you have this layer of film, as it were. So it almost seems like reality is one layer and then the haunting or the entity, whatever it is another layer. And really, is that all reality is? Just lots and lots of layers. Some that we can see, some that we can't see. Maybe they represent different times. Maybe they represent different universes. I don't know, but it's already melting my brain and I'm already freaking out inside. And it does make me wonder, right, how many people see these things? How many people see these like films playing in their head and haven't realized that they're potentially clairvoyant visions? I actually don't think that a horse race track is a particularly strange place to have a paranormal experience. Not that I think that everyone who goes to a racetrack will have a paranormal experience, but if you've ever been to a racetrack, like, they are intensely emotional places. And they were also places of criminality for a really long time. So you can imagine that violent crimes probably did happen there. So maybe, like you said, maybe this is a case of an entity or a spirit showing you this because you are susceptible and accepting of these visions, and they just want someone to recognize that this happened to them there. I do like the idea of entities having a level of agency and being able to pinpoint or pick out people that are susceptible and accepting of these images and being able to show them these images. I do quite like that idea. I mean, it's terrifying. It's petrifying. On a personal level, I would rather not be susceptible to these images, and I would not be accepting. I'd be like, keep them to yourself, okay? I'm very sorry you were stabbed, but that's none of my business. Similarly, with the kids peeking around trees, I'd be like, you are both none of my business. You are none of my concern. So please keep yourselves to yourselves. And I find the bewilderment interesting too, that this boy and a girl were bewildered by your presence. Because to me, that kind of says two things. Firstly, if they are a ghost or an entity or whatever, then they're like, oh, it's not usual for living beings to be able to see us. That's surprising. And secondly, it makes me think, if this is like a multiverse situation, at one point did a Native American boy and a pioneer period girl peek around a tree and see a strange looking woman who seemed really out of place? Wrap your head around that one. I also think too that it must be really difficult, you know, if you get a feeling or a sense from the entities that you're seeing, if you get a feeling of despair, if you get a feeling of worry and fear and warning, how are you meant to know how that applies to your life? You know what I mean? Where it's easy in hindsight to say, oh, you know, I imagine they were trying to warn me of that thing. But I do feel like, I've said this before, I'm saying it again, I do feel like the afterlife need a better communication system, maybe writing letters. Again, I have suggested that before. Nobody's taken me up on this suggestion. Maybe it's time people started. I do think prophetic dreams and psychic experiences are really interesting. And I wonder, this is not remotely to delegitimize your experience, but I do wonder if in some way, for example, in regards to the dream about having a boy and being outside that rental house, I do wonder if your experience of seeing the rental house, that maybe you took in more of it than you realized, like, does your body know somehow instinctively that you're going to have a boy? I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I've never been pregnant. Also, not psychic. Did you also have like signs or things that you instinctively picked up intuitively about your friend, and maybe her behavior was slightly different, or the way she was talking about things was slightly different, and therefore you pieced together, oh, she's back with her ex. Similarly, like with your partner, even though there was no fighting, no warnings or signs, I wonder if there were signs, you just didn't know actively, consciously that there were signs. I mean, look, that sounds like I'm desperately trying to disprove your abilities. I'm absolutely not. I can't explain to you how you knew that, you know, what that woman was going to look like when you heard her heels. I can't explain to you how you knew about your friend's engagement days before she posted it on Facebook. You know, I can't explain those things. There are lots of things that I think I could probably cope with pretty well in terms of the paranormal. Like, I think potentially items moving around and stuff, I would convince myself, or try and convince myself at least, that it wasn't paranormal. I had moved something, I'd forgotten about it, whatever. You know, I'd try and tell myself that it was going to be okay. Even some noises, I think I'd try and pretend there was a logical explanation, even if I kind of knew in my heart and soul that there wasn't. The one thing I cannot, and I would not be able to get on board with, is the being touched element of these paranormal experiences. I find public displays of affection difficult. So if an entity was coming grabbing my calf muscles, if an entity was coming putting their hands around my neck in the middle of the night, I'd be calling in a priest. I'd be going full on exorcist. I'd be like, I'm very sorry, but I am power of Christ compelling you back to the unknown, because that is a step too far. Two things: better communication from the afterlife, consent around touching from the afterlife. Thank you. Thank you so much to Leanne for sending in your stories. Remember, if you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website, reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.